This is the Mark Cox Morning Show.
Well, happy birthday to us. Welcome into the Mark Cox Morning Show. Not us personally, as in this show, but to the radio station. How about that? We are announcing this morning a 25th anniversary party that you are welcome to attend.
A party.
Yeah. If you are listening, you're a fan of the station, if you've been listening for some of those or all of those 25 years, I know people that started listening back in 2000 when it first went on the air. I think this signal had been red or something like that, 97.1 or something. I don't even know what it was before they switched to the talk format, but it was revolutionary for the market for it to be on FM radio. And they had faith in it, and they stuck with it. And certainly some of the faces have changed over the years. And we're thrilled to still be here 25 years later.
I'm just fantastic. Thinking about the evolution of all of media since then. You think yes. about radio. This was the first talk show station that, outside of NPR, I guess you could call them talk. But the real first public, you know, or I guess privately owned, somebody who invested in talk. Because AM is where you always went to get the talk.
The talk right? radio, yeah.
But think about the evolution of the internet just since sure. the show went on the air.
Since 2000.
Yeah, yep. I mean, we were just starting the texting world at about that time, right? Where we were texting one another and having correspondence through our phones, but didn't have all the apps, didn't have all the social media, didn't have any of that. So in 25 years of this station, there's just been an evolution. Like right now, we have hundreds of people who are watching on YouTube and listening to us on Facebook and having this as part of their day through their phones. That's just crazy.
It is crazy. It is. Just quick details, 25th anniversary party coming up Thursday, October 23rd. Go ahead and write it down. The party is from 5 till 7:30. It's free. We ask that you RSVP so we have a head count so we know who we have an idea of how many people are going to show up. There's a VIP section to this, right? You can get there and take part in some, you know, special activities with the hosts and the people that have been here the longest. So we're going to be walking around talking to everybody. But for the VIP, you get access to some food, to a couple of cocktails, to a cigar if you choose from Lit Cigar Lounge. And our thanks to Rhino Shield and U.S. Men's Medical Center and Lore Wine and Spirits for helping sponsor this event so we can celebrate 25 years of doing what we do and hopefully bringing you the unvarnished truth that you're not getting from the mainstream media. So if you want the VIP experience, those will be somewhat limited, but you can go to the website at 971talk.com/events. You'll see the link for the VIP tickets, and you'll see the link for the RSVP general admission, which is for free. So you can click on that, and we'll look forward to seeing you out there. We're going to have music. Reardon's going to do his show live out there that afternoon, and it's just going to be a great time.
It is. And that is a limited-size room, so I would say if you want to be part of that VIP experience, get your tickets early.
Yeah,
I got a feeling that's going to sell out pretty quick.
I would imagine that it probably will, but click on there, and hopefully we see you on the 23rd. We're very excited about it. It's going to be a good time. Coming up, we're going to talk to Todd Pyro, host of Fox & Friends First. I saw him, in fact, on Fox & Friends Weekends this morning. He's turning into a Brian Kilmeade of Fox News. He's working all the time like our friend Griff Jenkins. So we're going to get him on in the next at about 7:20 to talk a little bit more about what's going on in maybe in New York with this Mom Donnie guy and the government shutdown and all of it. We got Todd coming up here. We got to Mark Walters at the bottom of the hour with 2A Tuesday. Remember when J.B. Pritzker staged his assault on the Second Amendment, which continues to this day with his ban on scary black rifles. What he did was create a registry where if you already had one of these, you better go sign up for the so Big Brother knows who's got them. What do you think the next step in? What's the logical next step in a weapons registry? Confiscation.
You're darn right.
Turning legal American citizens, law-abiding citizens, into criminals for no reason. You have a constitutional right to have that gun, and the Supreme Court's going to address that hopefully sooner rather than later. But in the meantime, guess what? Our friends in the soon-to-be 51st state, I joke, Canada, they already have that law, and they're already calling for confiscation and arrest of people who don't follow their law and turn in their guns if they've deemed them illegal. That's what you get without a Second Amendment. In some cases with it, apparently, because Illinois has gotten away with it so far. We're going to talk to Mark Walters about that here at the bottom of the hour. Congressman Mike Bost coming up at 8:08. Stay tuned for that, and we'll get to that for you coming up shortly. All right, let's get to our top stories, Ethan, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
Farmers will be hurt. Border security and border patrol agents will not be paid. TSA agents will not be paid. Small businesses will be hurt in every single community.
Yeah, sounds like Hakeem Jeffries way back in December of last year was completely opposed to a government shutdown, but this time around his tune has changed.
Democrats are fighting to protect the health care of the American people, and we are not going to support a partisan Republican spending bill that continues to gut the health care of everyday Americans.
It's the Chuck and Hakeem show. How about that?
Talk about a change of heart. One minute he said government shutdown is going to be the end of our society. And then now, well, you know what? We're going to fight for your health care. We're going to fight for the health care for illegal immigrants, too.
Not if it's right. The Schumer shutdown. It's okay. Hakeem is all on board with that.
Wow.
You know President Trump as well as I do. With that indomitable spirit of his, everyone's going to be pushed by him, and I think we're going to get to the finish line.
Oh,
what do you think?
I don't think anymore.
No. Probably best not to think. I hope he's right about that.
Yep.
Israel would have my fallback into finish the job of destroying the threat of Hamas, but I hope that we're going to have a deal for peace.
Donald Trump managed to get 7 or 8 Arab and or Muslim nations surrounding Israel to sign off on this peace deal. And he got Benjamin Netanyahu to sign off on it. The only people they're waiting for are the crazed terrorists referred to as Hamas. And if they say no, they're about to have the full blessing of the United States to get wiped off the earth. Hamas is about to lose the argument once and for all. This is why these idiots in Britain and the 2 or 3 other countries that have now come out and publicly supported a Palestinian state are going to end up with egg on their face, because you're supporting people who vowed to wipe Israel off the map from the river to the sea. You're on the losing side of this argument. And if Hamas says no, that's exactly what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And it's a masterstroke by Donald Trump is what it is.
And I'm not naive to think that Bibi wants peace. I think Bibi wants to finish the deal.
Right? Oh, I do,
but
too.
But the fact he's being held to the fire right now. He's being told by Trump, you have to give us a window here. We've got these other Arab nations willing to support you, willing to trade with you, willing to basically come into the Abraham Accords if you just throttle this down and give Hamas a window of opportunity here. And that's what this is. It's a narrow window. I don't think they're going to wait long. But Hamas has got to feel the pressure.
I think they gave him 3 days.
Yeah.
But Netanyahu's also under pressure at home. There's a growing segment of his own voters there in Israel that are pushing for something like this. Plus, they would get the hostages back if this deal worked out. And if it doesn't, it's just more proof that Hamas never intended to release the hostages. And you might as well just go in and wipe out that hornet's nest once and for all. All right, quick break here. Todd Pyro, network star, host of Fox and Friends First, will join us right after the break. Ladies and gentlemen, star of TV and stage, Todd Pyro, host of Fox and Friends First, and not the upcoming performer at the Super Bowl halftime show like Bad Bunny.
We got a lot to talk about. First of all, welcome back. Second of all, last week, the guest host did not play my music intro. I did not know what to do.
Wow.
I just got back from the Fox and Friends green room, where every single person who works at Fox, not just the news channel, but the business channel, weather, the entire corporation, I feel like sports is in there as well, is in there to meet 50 Cent.
Oh, yeah.
He's, first of all, the nicest guy in the world. I had an opportunity to ask him a question. I talked about Farmington, Connecticut, which is where we both used to live.
Right.
Me in a dinky old apartment that I rented for less than $1,000 a month, which ironically used to be the apartment complex where Bill O'Reilly lived. Him in Mike Tyson's old home.
Oh, wow.
That he bought in Farmington. And I lit in my question. And, you know, it's tinged with some racial overtones because, let's face it, Farmington, Connecticut is not Atlanta. So I was like, basically, why are you in Farmington, Connecticut? He's just like, I like getting away. And he's like, also, they had a helicopter port that I could take to the city. I'm like,
nice.
He wasn't sitting in traffic like I was.
Well, you have one of those at the Pyro Estate out there,
right,
in Connecticut,
yes.
Don't you?
Yes.
Incidentally, I probably could land a helicopter. It would be weird. It would be a little tilted, but I could land it on my front lawn.
Okay.
You know, the missus, it may take out some trees. Depends upon the wings. A tiny helicopter. A bigger helicopter would take out some trees.
So we're all mystified here, Todd. I have to admit. Yeah. I quite honestly don't know I'd ever heard the words together, Bad Bunny, until I read this headline yesterday. And today, everybody's showing pictures of the guy in a dress and playing sound where he says he's never coming to America again because he's afraid of ice. And now the NFL's chosen to put him on the halftime show at the Super Bowl.
I think that, to me, is the funniest part of this story. It is that the folks in conservative media, I'm going to make fun of us here.
That's okay.
We are so out of touch with what the kids want, me included, that at first it was just like, who's Bad Bunny?
Exactly. That's what I said.
Who? Like, you know, like Bad Grandpa?
If it was something like, if the NFL announced that, you know, I don't know, Jimmy Kimmel would be doing the halftime show. MAGA world and conservative media would have been on that in a second.
Sure.
But there was like a delay because people are like, who?
Who? What?
Who? Bugs Bunny?
Bugs Bunny?
Bugs Bunny? Is Bad Bunny related to Modest Mouse? What's going on here? They're another band, by the way, that is in the music. That
yes.
Is much older.
I've actually Mouse. Heard of them. I never heard of Bad Bunny. I've heard of Modest Mouse.
It literally took conservative media like 36 hours probably to sort of 24. It may be more like 30. So to sort of to get the rage machine going on this one.
So I have to ask. I was up early Sunday. I just got back from a trip out of the country, and I was up early on Sunday morning, and I'm watching Fox and Friends weekends, and I saw you on there doing a segment with Rachel Campos Duffy. You got dragged in early Sunday morning, huh?
No. You ready?
Was it taped?
No.
Can I explain?
Yes.
So here's the deal. You know that I go to Giants games once a year with my dad.
Okay.
We have the whole season package. I sell them all because my dad's 83. He can't go to the November, December, and January games because he's on blood thinners and it's too cold. Mm-hmm. Can't go in October because they travel, and they can't go to any night games. So that literally allowed for one game this year.
Wow.
It was that game. What I do now is I got smart in my old age. I can't do the drive because the Giants – Stadium, MetLife Stadium, is the worst stadium in all of sports, and their parking is worse than that. So what I do is I tell the producers of Fox and Friends weekend, hey, you need me for a segment? What do I get?
I get
the car
parking.
Service.
Car service.
I get the car service.
Nice.
It's all a play. People are like, why were you working? Because I needed transportation.
You're a smart man, Todd Pyro.
That's
admirable. I just have to tell you, cunning.
We won't tell anybody your secret, even though thousands just heard it.
I tell everybody. I don't hate the player, hate the game.
Yeah. And what were you? You were commenting on something and trying to protect yourself from your wife on that segment, if I remember correctly, about women not appreciating men working overtime. Was that what the
point
story?
Was? Barack Obama, this isn't about his politics. This is about the office that he held. He was president of the United States for 8 years, the most important job in the world.
Yes.
Right? And even his wife bitched and moaned because he had to work late. Underscoring that every single woman gets mad at every single husband for having to work late and do extra things for his job. It doesn't matter whether you're a janitor or the president of the United States. But instead of putting that on my wife, I put it on my mom, because at the end of the day, my mom has to love me.
Thank you. I love that. Yeah, because Obama said it's taken me 8 years to climb out of that hole with Michelle, and I'm just about back to even. I'm like, for God's sake, she got to be first lady of the United States for 8 years. Exactly. What was she complaining about?
My mom used to be so proud of my dad as a lawyer, used to describe him as the most hardworking guy. You know, this is how you earn a living. He'd call up at like 5:30. Hey, I need to stay till 6:30 for an office meeting. It was like she got a cancer diagnosis on the other end of the phone. I remember the histrionics. And so, what are you going to do?
That's great. Well, Todd, listen, I appreciate finding out your secret to free transportation. That's key.
You know how to have to play the game, brother.
Yes, you
and
do.
Speaking of my mom, my parents will be on Gutfeld. I'll be on Gutfeld this weekend. My parents in the audience, get ready for me to be destroyed. Coming up on Friday.
Outstanding.
Programming note.
Friday, Gutfeld. We'll be tuned in, brother.
We'll be watching. Thanks, Todd.
Thanks, guys.
All right. Thanks. See you later. Todd Pyro from hysterical. Fox. First, he kills me. Didn't want to drive in for the Giant Stadium.
So volunteer to work. I'll do a segment just so I get free parking.
Too bad that doesn't work in the radio world.
You don't get car service? I get car service every morning.
What?
The limo's at my house every day, 3:30 in the morning, to take me to the Mark Cox Morning Show.
Man alive. I'm going to the boss's office when this show is over. How did that happen? That's what I want to know. All right. Coming up, we're going to get to 2A Tuesday with our friend Mark Walter. Stay tuned.
Fear of retribution or second guessing. Of course, you can't do like nasty bullying and hazing. We're talking about words like bullying and hazing and toxic. They've been weaponized and bastardized inside our formations, undercutting commanders and NCOs.
This is War Secretary Pete Hegseth addressing those generals that he called together in Washington, D.C. right now. It has been a takedown of woke policies. Listen to this for just a second.
Today, at our direction, we're ensuring that every service, every unit, every schoolhouse, and every form of professional military education conduct an immediate review of their standards. Now, we've done this in many places already, but today it goes across the entire Department of War. Any place where tried and true physical standards were altered, especially since 2015 when combat arms standards were changed to ensure females could qualify, must be returned to their original standard.
This is what I voted
for. Other standards have been manipulated to hit racial quotas as well, which is
just
as unacceptable.
He just fat-shamed all the generals.
This too must end. Merit.
He did.
Only. The president talks about it all the time. Merit-based.
Yeah, yeah. And, this is fantastic. We'll play you more of this, but he's talking live right now. And earlier he fat-shamed all the generals. I missed it. Dan said he told them.
It was amazing.
From top to bottom, you're going to do.
From private to general, there will be two physical fitness tests annually. He said, I am tired of seeing fat generals at the Pentagon. I mean, that was his exact words. Tired of seeing the fat generals at the Pentagon, and they should be held to the same standards as the rank and file.
There will be a rash of resignations this afternoon at the Department of Defense for guys who physically can't do that anymore. All right, let's get to 2A Tuesday.
If you ban them in the future, the bullets will have been shot and there won't be any more available.
So you don't shoot deer with a bullet that size. If you do, you could cook it at the same time.
Put that double barrel shotgun and fire two blasts outside the house.
That is without a doubt the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
This is 2A Tuesday, brought to you by the Range St. Louis West.
All right, Mark Walters with us from Armed American Radio. Mark, there is some testosterone back in the War Department. What do you think?
That's exactly what I voted for. I heard you. Yes,
I
do agree with you. There likely will be a rash of resignations, and I think that was probably part of it.
Oh, probably.
Yeah. And he brought them from all over the world, from almost every theater, from bases across the world. This is a couple hundred of his top brass, and they're hearing that as of today, the standards are changing. He is definitely going to have a lethal fighting force in a year or two.
The Department of War.
There's a new sheriff in town.
That's right.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm thinking.
Oh, man, I love this.
I love it. I'm loving this.
We're going to play.
This is what we voted for.
This is it right here. Thank you. You don't lower standards just to make yourself feel good because it affects performance. That's true everywhere in every profession, specifically in the War Department. So I'm thrilled to see that. Hey, you know, Mark, I've been off for a week or two, and I come back. And I hear this this Canadian PM yesterday talking about their new gun ban up in Canada and how they're going to start confiscating weapons, apparently, because there are people that aren't paying attention to the new law they've laid down. I wanted to play a clip of this and get your reaction to it. Hold on. Whoops, is it not playing? Sound up? Hold on, what if, oh, it's my fault. Imagine that, Ethan. I'm so sorry. Here we go.
All of the people in possession of one of the weapons that has been banned since 2020 and will not participate in the compensation program will have an illegal gun in its possession, and that's a criminal act.
So in other words, they passed this gun ban in 2020. If you haven't agreed to turn your gun in for compensation, they're now targeting you as a criminal,
which is
in Canada.
Unless you're ignorant, that is the natural progression of a buyback program.
Yes.
If you don't agree to the buyback, then they're just going to take it.
Registration.
Right. Yeah. Unbelievable.
Isn't that what we've been talking about?
Oh, yeah.
Years together?
Yeah. This is exactly.
You're witnessing this.
They're a step ahead. Right. They're the next step.
Step ahead.
Yep.
Pay attention to what is going on around you, to what they want to do. Believe your lying eyes. Listen to your lying ears. Hear what these people are saying to you. They are telling you what they want to do. They're saying it out loud. You had better be paying attention to it. Do not believe for one second that these people have not been cavorting with American gun banners. They have. This is what they have in store for you, America, St. Louis. By the way, good morning. I love each and every one of you. Welcome back, Mark.
Talk about Illinois, Mark.
When you were on vacation, so I'm going to do the same thing with my son who turned 21 today. He can't wait to begin carrying today. We're going to have a blast with him. But, yeah, this is what they want for you, ladies and gentlemen. You've got to start paying attention.
Yeah. Well, happy birthday to your son, by the way. I was just talking earlier about how this relates to what's going on in Illinois. This governor we've got over here, J.B. Pritzker, when he steps away from the buffet, goes in front of a mic yesterday and calls our armed law enforcement officers of ICE jackbooted thugs, a direct reference to Nazi-era SS guards is basically what he's referring to them as, because they're doing their job and arresting illegals to transport them out of this country. That's what we're facing. This is the same guy that pushed the scary black rifle ban in Illinois that for some reason the Supreme Court still hasn't gotten around to reversing. I mean, we have the Second Amendment in this country, and yet the citizens of Illinois are treated no differently than the citizens of Canada. Mark, that's outrageous.
Yeah, it is outrageous. And Pritzker is one. You know, Newsom is another. Hochul is another. We can name them, the usual suspects, guys, that, again, are telling you what this is why words mean things. It was Rush Limbaugh that used to say that, right? Words mean things.
It's true.
On his show. And you had better start paying attention to what these people are saying. Pritzker is very well aware that he is enticing and inciting violence against our ICE officials for simply doing their job. He knows that his words will be heard by lunatics on his fringe left. He knows what the result will be. To me, this is criminal. Now, you know, that's just me.
Well, and go ahead.
Go ahead. No, go ahead, please.
Well, the registration program that they tried to put in place in Illinois, where they said they were going to enforce if you didn't register your quote unquote assault rifles, and they had like 97 of the 102 sheriffs in the state saying that they would not enforce it, that they would not enforce this law knowing it was illegal. But yet still the state legislature approved that registration program. And they've got an estimated 10% of all registered assault rifles in Illinois have been registered to date. 10% is the estimate.
Is it 10? That's higher than I thought. It was 2% for the longest time.
Yeah. So at 10%, what do you see as their next tactic for trying to enforce? Because obviously they're trying to build a list, right? They want to know where these guns are, who has them, and it has, for a very specific reason, don't you think?
Well, yeah, I know. Yeah, we all know that because history shows us that.
That's why
words mean something, right? When you hear this, they like to make it an innocuous term, universal registration or universal background checks. What that is code for is every single transfer of every firearm will be listed by the state. This means personal transfers, et cetera. This is how they build a database of registered firearms, which will later be used for confiscation. That's why they're building this list. Now, I want to give the audience some encouraging words here. I just got back from Utah Sunday morning, a red-eye flight at 5:06 a.m., my arrival, where I just emceed the Gun Rights Policy Conference, the 40th annual conference that was held in Salt Lake City this weekend. And a lot of words of encouragement for our listeners. We are winning this fight. However, the left will never stop. It's important that we remember that. And I interviewed a panel on a fireside chat that consisted of Attorney General Austin Knutson from Montana, Steve Montenegro, the Arizona Republican Speaker of the House, and a young woman, and I hate to butcher her last name, Lisbon, I think it was Lisbon, so I'll just call it that, Carrie Ann, from Utah State Representative, who I believe was the House Judiciary Chair, on stage in front of about 500 people. And the message that's out there from state officials is, and this is where we have to be vigilant, all of these three states, Montana, Arizona, and of course Utah, are all very gun friendly. However, in Arizona, just to give listeners an example, widely regarded, guys, as you know this, Mark, Arizona is widely regarded as the quote unquote most gun friendly state in the country. And I could argue that, but that's for a different show. It is still regarded that way. They had 90 anti-gun bills they had to squash in this session alone.
Wow.
In Arizona, not Illinois. So what I'm saying here is, this is why we have to remain vigilant. This is why we have to stay on our toes, step on the gas, and stay ahead of these people, because they won't ever stop. Now, 74 of those bills were squashed by Kwon Nguyen, their House Judiciary Chair that went right to the shredder. He's earned the nickname the shredder. The other 16 or 17, I think the other 16 bills were never brought to the floor by the House Speaker. But they won't stop. And all it takes is one election to flip it. And this is what you're looking at. Arizona would have seen likely 70 of those bills pass.
Wow.
This is very scary stuff. They mean business. They're not going away. They're well funded. So we need court victories. We need a Supreme Court that's going to take the Second Amendment or the assault weapons ban case, which we know we're going to get. And we know we will win it. So there will be some schadenfreude there when they ban these guns locally in their municipalities or even in their states. And all of a sudden, that's found to be on their state constitutions are found to be unconstitutional. We'll have some schadenfreude. But that's not, you know, for the people that live in those states, that might not be comforting today, but it is coming. But this is why we have to remain in the fight.
That's a great point. Mark Walters, the happiest of birthdays to your young man there.
Oh, thank you very much. I'll pass it on to him. He's really excited, and we're going to have a great day today for him, and I can't wait to watch him carry his gun openly today when we all go out and celebrate dinner, because we can do that.
Uh-huh. And I imagine a little bit of that birthday will be spent at the range, right?
It was yesterday, because he just chose finally the gun that he wants to carry. I won't mention that brand on the air, but yes, we're good to go here.
That's
at the household
great.
At the ranch.
Awesome. Excellent. Mark, we'll talk to you soon, buddy. Thank you.
You bet. Thanks for what you do, guys. Love you guys. Have a great day.
Take care. Mark Walters, host of Armed American Radio's Daily Defense, armedamericanradio.org. You can check him out there, armedamericannews.org as well. Great, great resource.
And they won't stop. He's right. They're going to just keep coming.
Yes, they are.
Yep.
All right. We're going to get to a quick break here. Coming up at the top of the hour, by the way, right after Dan's segment, we will get to Representative Mike Bost, U.S. Congressman from the great state of Illinois over here across the river. We'll talk about the government shutdown. And maybe J.B. Pritzker when we come back. Stay tuned.
But don't give a f***.
The part of the show where we celebrate voices out on social media, folks that oftentimes the mainstream media will not give any attention to. The guy I'm focusing on today, though, is a little different. Normally, I let you hear people's opinions and let them speak for themselves. This guy doesn't really do his own content. What he does is he's out there trolling the liberals and basically finding the greatest memes, the funniest segments, the exposure, if you will. If you're familiar with Libs of TikTok, right? The guy who does all those Libs of TikTok. This guy's doing it on X, all right? Basically the same thing. It's called A Man of Memes. He's got about 500,000 followers currently, but growing by the day. Actually, this morning it was at 520,000. He's up to 563,000 as of now.
Woo!
And he just puts stuff out there 4, 5, 6 times a day that are funny. This particular segment we're going to play today was actually a conservative who goes into a protest of Turning Point USA trying to get answers of exactly what they're protesting, and you'll get the normal liberal nothingness, okay? But here is that segment and an example of what A Man of Memes puts out there every day. Go ahead.
All right, guys, so we're here in Tampa, and we got some, looks like some commie protesters. I've already seen the sign, socialism is the future.
Let's hope not.
I pray that's not the case for America. These guys are out here protesting against Turning Point. Looks pretty lame so far. You'll see if we can talk.
There's
to
like
any of
40
them.
Of them there, by the way.
Good. So we're protesting TPUSA. What are your biggest issues with Turning Point?
I would talk to someone in one of the vests. I'm sure they have a designated person to talk with.
David, you can't talk.
I'm sure they have a.
Do you not have an opinion?
Have to, but if you want to,
yeah.
Okay.
This guy's with One America News, right?
Speaker for you guys?
There's a media person over there.
Oh, okay.
So these are protesters who can't protest.
What is it about Turning Point that's so bad? Anybody have an opinion of their own? They want to say why Turning Point is so bad? Anything you want to add?
No.
Who are you guys with?
Now, you would think if you're protesting.
Who's putting this on?
You'd want people to hear your opinion.
No, the
weird
thing about this is the left used to be the counterculture, and it used to be loud and proud, and it's so weird at these events now. It's like silence. They're all afraid to speak. I don't know what the deal is. So,
yeah, that's just one example of A Man of Memes. That actual segment goes on about another 10 minutes. He never really does get anybody to speak on why they're there protesting. I thought the whole point of protesting was to have your voice heard and to try to bring points to the forefront. But
why would you show up for any other reason? Somebody came up to me with a camera, I'd tell them what I thought.
Absolutely.
This is why I'm here. Why are you protesting out here today?
Yeah, and you're willing to show up there in Tampa on the streets out in front of a Turning Point USA office and protest that, but you won't tell people what you're protesting. That's just
because they don't have the strength of their convictions. They're told what to think,
and this guy has
they can't express it.
This guy has 500,000 followers. You want to get your message out instead of to the people there in Tampa, you could get to 500,000 people, but no, they have no opinion whatsoever.
None
whatsoever.
Welcome
to liberalism. Right?
Makes
no sense.
A man of memes, if you want to follow him on Facebook. I followed him this morning.
Yeah,
so
he's at Ricky Doggin, D-O-G-G-I-N, if you want. That's his actual handle. But he goes by A Man of Memes. He does put out some really funny memes, too, by
the
way.
All right. Well, coming up, thank you, Dan. We're going to get to Congressman Mike Bost. So stay tuned for that. U.S. Congressman, we're going to talk to him about the looming Schumer shutdown, which it sounds like is on. And what that's going to mean maybe for government positions and veterans and others, because there's a lot of hand-wringing over that. We'll talk to the congressman about it. Ryan Wiggins a little bit later as well at the bottom of the hour. Stay tuned for that. And we'll talk more about the big 25th anniversary birthday celebration for 97.1 that's coming up that you can attend when we get back at the top of the hour. Stay tuned.